Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 23rd of April. Man, we are right in the middle of this final passage from Galatians 4. You talk about some meaty stuff, and you talk about the Apostle Paul putting his neck on the line for the gospel of grace. He's doing it. Galatians chapter 4. Yesterday we dealt with verse 24, these two symbolic things, which Paul calls two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Paul equates Hagar with the Sinaitic covenant. This is a bold move. Hagar and Sinai, technically, chronologically, historically, have nothing to do with one another. But Paul says Sinai is just like Hagar. She's a concubine, she's flashy, she's pretty, she's young, she's vivacious, but she'll kill you. She's a work of the flesh. And when you get tangled up with Hagar, you're going to end up with a screaming Ishmael that is never going to leave you alone. And the closer you associate yourself to Hagar, the closer you will associate yourself to the bondage that she produces. And just to really lay it all on the line, I mean, he's already put his neck out there, but to really go over the top, read 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Man, guys, you can't be more brazen than Paul has just been. Listen to what he said. Hagar is the Sinai that's in Arabia. That's just in case his audience was not tracking with him. Sinai in Arabia is the Sinai that Israel marches around in the wilderness. It is the Sinai on which Moses receives the law. Paul says, Hagar is Sinai, of which Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. In other words, the Jerusalem that's on the planet now, this is circa 56 AD, that Jerusalem is the Hagar of this generation, Paul says. And she's in bondage with her children. Anything produced out of modern Jerusalem, he says, is in the same bondage that Hagar and Ishmael were in, and they are the Sinai that's in Arabia. It can't be more pointed to the Judaism of his day. Their heaven is on their earth at a place called the temple. Their priesthood is still in effect. Less than a generation earlier, they had killed through legal means a man named Jesus of Nazareth. That Jesus, Paul and his constituents and his audience believed, and I believe, was the Son of God and raised from the dead and disappeared into the heavens so that he could appear inside of the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John and the churches at Galatia and inside of me. And that changed the game. How could it not change the game? I mean, if Jesus is real and the cross is real and the resurrection is real, how is that not a game changer? And so Paul says the Jerusalem that's in this world, the natural place with the temple and priests, are now Sinai. And if you are produced out of the system of Jerusalem, you're going to be in the same bondage to Jerusalem that Israel was to Sinai and to a Jew in the time of the Apostle Paul. They didn't see anything wrong with that. The leaders of Paul's day are the same leaders of Jesus' day. Well, there are different high priests. But they didn't see this as a bondage. Paul identifies it as a bondage. We still identify it as a bondage, as we should. Because for any one of you who have ever studied the law and applied it to your life as a means of righteousness, you realize that it doesn't help. You don't become righteous. The law as a structural code worked. I mean, don't kill people. Don't lie. Don't steal. I present to you that the law is actually a condensed version, or in the simplest terms, all of the things that you won't do if you loved your neighbor the way Christ loved you. You would be covenantal people. And if you loved your neighbor the way Christ loved you, you wouldn't cheat on your spouse with your neighbor's spouse. You would not lie. You would not steal. You would not covet. All of those things. Why? Because to do so would be a breach of the human compact. And you love yourself too much to do that to yourself, so you would love your neighbor too much to do that to your neighbor. This is why the New Testament refers to the law of love as the highest law, and all other laws hang on that, because really, condensed down, it's a great way to live. But if you live them to get to God, to get from God, or to achieve something in God, you miss the point, and you become a slave, and you are birthed of Jerusalem. I know you're not in this text, you're 2,000 years from this text, but I've still met people who've placed themselves in this text. I want to read that one more time. These are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. There is so much to say about the Jerusalem above, which is free and the mother of us all, that it deserves its own podcast. Notice that the latter covenant, the Jerusalem from above, gets less play, at least so far, than the first one. Even though Paul doesn't have a whole lot to say about it, the New Testament does. And believe it or not, the Old Testament says a lot. We'll dig in tomorrow. See you then. God bless.